Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to this week's Project Action on Podcast One. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and we've got a special one this week. A good friend of mine, my Polaris Razor teammate, Bryce Menzies. You know him. He is basically off-road everyman. He's won just about everything you can possibly win in the sport of off-road racing. He's gone to the Dakar Rally. He's run Rallycross, short course, multi-time champion, World Cup winner, Baja champ. I mean, you want to talk off-road, you want to talk about the guy that's there at the top of the heap. Bryce Menzies, definitely that guy. We've got him on the show this week, and also Red Bull athlete. Man, he never disappoints when we got him on the show. This aired earlier, a couple of weeks ago in the Down and Dirty Radio Show, but it was all chopped up to fit into the national time slot. Thought I'd air this thing uncut in this week's Project Action, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy this version of the interview. It's got a little bit different feel to it. So, yeah, we got Bryce Menzies this week on the show. That is definitely going to be a good one. You want to stay tuned for that. I was just out at NHRA in Phoenix taking in the biggest and baddest drag racing on the planet. It was a ton of fun, man. It definitely never disappoints. And I always look forward to hanging out with my good friends at NHRA. Big thanks to Antron Brown, Steve Torrance for all the hospitality. And my good friend Mia Chapman, her and her dad came out there, and we got to give her baptism by nitro. We'll talk about more about that probably in the Down and Dirty Radio Show. But if you haven't already, please go to iTunes, hit that subscribe button to Project Action, and please leave a rating if you're a listener to the show. Much appreciated for everybody who does. We sincerely appreciate the continued support. Check out my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Also here on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. We're also on Sirius now, Sirius XM Channel 211. So check that out on Sirius Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific. 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock Eastern time. So, midday, I dig that we're not the morning show, because then, people sleep through it sometimes on the weekends. But, no excuses not to tune in. You should be up by 10 a.m. Pacific. Definitely. So, that was big news for us. We will get to this Bryce Menzies interview. But I do want to tell you about some of our amazing partners here on Project Action, because we couldn't do it without them. And one of our good friends and partners is Bet Online. And the drive to March has begun for college basketball's elite teams, and the NBA contenders are starting to separate themselves from the pretenders. And for fight fans, it doesn't get any better or any bigger than the heavyweight championship rematch that's this Saturday. Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Wow. And you know what? Our good friends and exclusive partners at Podcast One, Bet Online, go over there. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure and use the promo code PODCAST1, and you're going to get a 50% sign-up bonus there at Bet Online. And, NBA, we got some key games. Brooklyn at Philly. We got Houston at Golden State. New Orleans at Portland. We got Philly at the Bucks. Celtics at Lakers. San Antonio at the Thunder. And, once again, we got that massive heavyweight championship rematch on the 22nd. Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury. It's been called the fight of the decade. And I got to tell you, I am going to be tuned in. Not a massive boxing fan, but a fight of this caliber, I definitely am going to buy the pay-per-view. I'm going to go over to Bet Online, put my bets in, and I don't know who I'm going to pull for yet, but it's going to be a big, big fight. So definitely go over there to betonline.ag. Don't forget, use that promo code PODCAST1. You're going to get a 50% sign-up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And do you own or rent your home? I'm sure you do. And you know what? It can be really hard work. And you know what's easy? Building policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner and renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, see how much you can save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. And, you know, we told you about this last week, but I'm excited to let you know that this show, Project Action, is now available to stream for free on Spotify. If you haven't tried listening there yet, it's a free download. Use Spotify on any device. It's a great listening experience, and you can go straight from listening, from, I don't know, whoever you listen to musically, and switch right over to our podcast right there on the same app. Just search for the show on Spotify. Start listening for free. Remember, totally free, even if you're not a premium member. All right, so with that being said, I think it's time to switch gears for Bryce Menzies. And, you know, Bryce kind of hanging out here in studio. And I got to say, Bryce, you're walking in here, what, $100,000 richer. That's never a bad thing.
No, my pockets are a little heavy this morning. it's not every day that you get to go race for an off-road race for $100,000. So my hat's off to King of the Hammers for putting on one heck of a race. And it's crazy what they do on out there at the lake bed. So it's cool to see.
Yeah. Well, so I got to ask, you said your pockets are a little heavy. You didn't pull a Mark McMillan, because he said on the podium last year, dude, this 100K, that's going to throw one big party. Like, I think it was all gone before they ever left KOH. So you actually kept the money around a little bit, right?
We'll see. We're going to do definitely a big team party. They're the whole reason why we kind of win these races. It's crazy how many people it takes to go to win one of these desert races these days. We usually bring around, 40, 50 people. So, we'll go throw a little celebration party and then put some of the money back into the racing so we can go win some more races.
Yeah. Well, dude, we got so much to talk about, but I want to talk, one of the big things is you talk about the team and stuff like that. I know you've been very fortunate. You've raced for quite a while now, but you brought Oren in, has he been with you about a year and a half now? I can't remember, but I mean, you brought in one of the top co-drivers, I would say, in North America, hands down, man. I mean, how has that been for your team? I mean, I know you guys had kind of known each other, but I mean, he's legit. When you go to something, especially in the rocks, like at KOH and the UTVs, but even this, I mean, what's he bringing to the table for you? What's different about your dynamic that you've got?
Yeah, I think when you talk about co-driver, you really have to kind of check all the boxes. I mean, you're in the car with a guy for sometimes 16 hours, 24 hours. You really have to have a good connection and really trust that guy. So when I was looking around for a co-rider, Oren popped up and we started talking, and I was friends with him before we started racing together, and always just loved the type of guy that he was. He was just even keel, always wanted to have a good time, always had a good attitude on him. And, once we put him in the truck and started kind of working together, it seemed like we clicked, right away with our personalities. When things happen, it seems like I always get frustrated and get in my head and kind of get down. And it's good to have him sitting next to me to be that voice of reason to kind of calm me down. He's always even keel, whether we're getting flats or having any type of issue with the truck. So putting him in, whether it's, the T1 or the trophy truck or the UTV race, I just feel the most comfortable with him. And he's also putting in the effort. He's putting in the work. Nowadays in off-road racing, you have to have a guy that could change a tire within a minute 30, which is insane, but that's what these races are coming down today. So I'm lucky to have that guy sitting next to me, and we have one hell of a time doing it for sure.
And it's funny you mentioned a minute 30, like, dude, and you've been around this sport for quite a while now, like, dude, that's insane. I mean, it used to be like you'd get a flat and it was 5-6 minutes, whatever, and it's like you said, a minute 30, dude, that's so lightning quick, especially with 40-inch tires and the weight. And, and it's funny because watching the live stream, tire changes are happening so quick out there. They'd be like, oh, so-and-so dropped back a little bit. And they'd be like, oh, I wonder why. And then all of a sudden they'd be like, oh, they changed the tire. And, like, you guys are changing tires so quick, like the live stream doesn't even realize you guys changed them because they're out of the truck, back in the truck. Before the live stream, you can even catch up with what's going on, man. Like, to me, that's crazy.
And you got to think that it's just some of the top teams. The drivers don't even get out of the trucks these days. So I don't even get out of the truck when I get a flat. I hit the jack button. I manage the jack from inside the truck. He jumps out. And, I mean, like you said, those 40-inch tires, the rims, they weigh upwards to 120, 140 pounds, some of those things. So for him to just throw that thing around like it's nothing, and he's not a huge, tall, big guy, so he puts in the work, and that's what all these co-riders kind of got to do nowadays is It's almost their full-time job is to just co-ride, work out, train, practice this stuff. Because, you know, when you look at this stuff, we're dumping a lot of money into it. Our partners are dumping a ton of money into it to go racing and to win these races. And, you know, I think they expect and we expect to have the best guy sitting next to us and that can get those tires done as quickly as possible. Or if we have a mechanical problem inside the truck, have that guy knowledgeable to be able to fix it on the fly. So it's kind of wild, like you're saying, you know, during the KOH race, you know, they're saying, Andy, oh, he had an issue. He dropped back 28 seconds or 30 seconds or whatever. And that's just a tire change. It's crazy how fast these guys are doing it nowadays. That, like what you're saying, is you don't even know that we're getting flats because we're back on the road. We might not even lose a position because we could change these tires so fast now.
Yeah, it's nuts. So talking about that, you and Andy, you guys had it was something to watch there for a while. And, you know, and obviously he ended up having, you know, what happened to him. But, dude, you as a driver, that had to have been pretty fun when you're in a battle with that guy. Obviously, you guys have been teammates down at Baja. You know each other well. You guys are, you know, both sponsored by Red Bull, same tire partner. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, both in all-wheel drive trucks. Like, that has to be fun for you as a driver to have a wicked battle like that.
Yeah, when at King of the Hammers, when I qualified first and Andy was second, I know that's where he likes to be. He likes to hunt, and I like to be out front. I like to set the pace and kind of have clean air. I don't like dealing with dust that much. And I knew with the two-minute gap that they put for the starting position there, that's kind of a little bit of a disadvantage of us because it leaves him 2 minutes of clean air to catch up to me. So kind of my game plan was, I always make this game plan, is to take, you know, the first lap and a half easy and then kind of really see where we're at. And from the get-go, I just wanted to hold him within, try to hold him within those 2 minutes. And at this race, we have no, there's only pretty much one remote pit. So that's only the time that we can get time splits. So when I'd come through on the first lap, he was 28 seconds ahead of me. And I'm like, man, you know, we're pushing pretty good. We're clicking pretty good. And I got one flat. It kind of gave him a little gap that he caught up on me. And I knew on that second lap that we were going pretty good. And he got a flat, so it gave me about 30-second lead going into pit one. And I was pushing still pretty hard because I knew he was on my tail. And I knew that race, it's 300 miles, but it's probably one of the rockiest, gnarliest uphills races that you could put on tires. So for us, our plan was to stop every lap and put rears on, and then if we needed to, one of the laps to put fronts on. And coming through about lap and a half, I believe it was, we heard Andy put it on its lid, which is a bummer because we had such a fun race going. It was going back and forth on time, and we were putting a bunch of time on everybody else. So after, you know, he kind of topped over, I got the times from Luke McMillan, who was, I think, third at that time, and he was over 6 minutes down. So we kind of backed it down and cruised from there. But first half of the race was an all-out battle with Andy, and it's fun to go race like that. It makes you challenge yourself, challenge the truck. And when we got that flat, like I said, Oren did it in a minute 30 or something like that, and I thought Andy was going to get around us, but he must have had a problem as well. So clean air all day, which is always nice.
Yeah. Well, which leads me to, you know, talking about, you know, you guys kind of running out front, and we've got to talk the all-wheel drive, two-wheel drive thing, but here's a question kind of as my lead-in. Like, I haven't driven an all-wheel drive trophy truck. I've driven two-wheel drive ones, and those you got to drive pretty committed or they don't quite work right. But with the all-wheel drive rally cars I've driven and stuff like that, and I know talking with guys like Kyle LaDuke, obviously you've driven a Pro 4, you know, plenty. But, you know, Pro 4s, they don't really work right. You can't lay up. You know, you get a big lead and it doesn't really matter because if you try and run 90%, the truck just doesn't work right, right? And I know rally cars the same way. Is the all-wheel drive trophy truck kind of the same way? Like, you get out front and you really can't, even though you've got this big gap layup because the truck just won't work right? I mean, you kind of, because I've never driven one, Bryce. I mean, kind of take us through that. I mean, you've got to be pretty committed in them though, right, for them to hook up?
Yeah, I think once you kind of get in the all-wheel drive truck and learn the vehicle, that is definitely right. Like in the corners, you can't be halfway on the throttle or quarter on the throttle because the rear spins a little bit faster than the front. So there is a lot to learn with those trucks. And I think with kind of me racing Pro 4 before I got in the trophy truck and then into an all-wheel drive trophy truck, I think that really helped. But there is that little bit of balance, but it's funny that you said that. On the third lap, we actually backed it off and tried to conserve and play it smart and save the truck. And kind of what we found out is that we were actually burning more fuel doing that, which was surprising. But that's kind of the game is with these all-wheel drive trucks, momentum is the key, keeping everything spinning. But the game has changed. I mean, like I say to everybody, the first time that I realized I needed a four-wheel drive trophy truck was, I want to say, I forget what year was, 15 or 16, and I drove a Polaris Razor for the first time down in Mexico on the crossover road, and I drove half of it in two-wheel drive, and then I put it in four-wheel drive and drove the other half, and I said, if you could build a four-wheel drive trophy truck, hands down, it would destroy the two-wheel drive competition no matter what. And it seems like that's what it's getting to. These trucks are, you know, you got to think you have four tires connected to the ground at all times compared to two. You have that much more traction. You have that less of wheel spin for hurting tires, for fuel. So I think the game was for a long time was to try to get the equipment to live and the technology to be at the standard that it can withstand 1,000 miles of the most brutal terrain and truck abuse you could put on something. So it's cool to see the level of our sport get to. It's hard because it's costing so much more money now with development and bringing these four-wheel drives in, but that's where our sport has. It's we're in the unlimited class, and whatever you could bring, you can go race. So I think everybody's trying to push that bar and see where technology could take us nowadays.
Well, and I think it's interesting you mention that because, like, you start looking and people want to compare trophy trucks to Formula One cars. Formula One's even got rules. You know, you look at Dakar. I mean, you've been there. There's rules there. Like, you know, even these major that are supposed to be open, kind of run what you brung. I mean, Pikes Peak would probably be the only thing left that I know that is wide open. Like, trophy truck, really, on a technology standpoint, dude, it's kind of stands on its own in the world just because there really are no rules. Even the other unlimited things, like I said, at Formula One, there's rules there. Trophy truck, there is none. You know, it's like, you know, use your best, you know, get your best minds and engineers and whatever they can design, you can actually go and race it.
And I think that's what, for sure, that's what keeps my dad coming back. His mind's always spinning. And when, you know, 2 years before we even started building our first four-wheel drive, that's all he talked about was flying from the helicopter and seeing us, you know, slow down for ditches and then come back out and just watch the rear tire spin. And I believe it was Vegas Sereno where we got, I think it was like 8 flats or something. And my dad's like, this is ridiculous. We're building a four-wheel drive. And, you know, that's really what's helped our team kind of grow is my father being a part of it. And he's not in the day in and day out activity of watching the prep and overseeing the shop like I do, but he's more of the guy that comes in and wants to design new front diffs and talk to the engineers and see what's capable. Because when someone says to him, you know, that's not possible, that's what makes him dive even deeper and wants to prove people wrong. So it's cool to see these type of people in our sport and where it's gone to with the all-wheel drive, the four-wheel drives. We raced our brand new Mason out of the box and won, and we're going to race our old Huseman at the Mint 400. So all the speculation of saying our old truck wasn't good, it's just they're two different types of trucks.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that I'm the only one that really knows the difference between the two and where one truck will, you know, benefit a different type of race course, the other one will benefit the other. So it's just cool to see the technology where it's going in our sport keep growing like this.
Yeah. Well, and I think proof is in, you know, obviously you've got a Mason, you've got the Huseman truck. It's not like you've went and put the Huseman up for sale or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, I think you've got a couple of weapons in the arsenal, and depending on the track and conditions and things like that, you can pull one or the other out. You know, I think it's definitely an advantage to you. And I think, yeah, anybody that's saying that, you know, I like you said, you're the only one that actually knows. And being that you haven't put one up for sale, I feel like you haven't really drawn a line in the sand and said which one is better or not.
No, I think, you know, like our game plan was, you know, we had the Huseman, we built four-wheel drive. It's a front engine, and it works unreal. We're still working on it to get it the best that it is. But, you know, we got a Mason. It's the next biggest, baddest all-wheel drive. And, you know, now we have both of them. And with us racing so many races, it's really hard to turn, especially now with a four-wheel drive truck. There's so many more parts and stuff that you have to prep. to turn a truck around within 3 weeks or a month is insane. So what we kind of did was we have two all-wheel drive trucks now where we could flip one in for one race and one for the next race. So no matter what, we're always prepared. I think these races are won in the race shop. A lot of it, the hours that these guys put in prepping these trucks, and if you kind of miss one thing, a $5 part, it could take you out from winning, obviously, a $100,000 race. So we want to make sure we're putting in the right effort. You know, we spend a lot of money, our partners spend a lot of money, so we're going to do everything possible to go win these races, and I think we're doing that, as you guys could see, a little bit.
Yeah, well, I got to ask, you know, I know kind of in the lead up, we saw here, what, a few weeks back, you were able, Kyle Long put out a tweet about wanting to go race the Mid 400. You guys took him out for a ride in your all-wheel drive truck, dude. How was that? I mean, basically, you know, taking a guy who'd never been in anything like that out for his first ride, and it's not just easing him into off-road. I mean, you're putting him in an all-wheel drive trophy truck sitting shotgun with you, man. How was that? I mean, what was going through his mind afterwards?
Yeah, first, you know, Matt Martelli called me and kind of set the thing up. And I honestly, my favorite thing is to take people that have no idea what a trophy truck is or what it can do and put them in the seat and just see their reaction. And so Martelli brought him down, and one of the coolest guys that I think I've ever met in my life, most down-to-earth guy, really wanted to dive in and learn all about what off-road racing is. And he's really into the sport and racing. And so we had long conversations. He wanted to look the truck over. This guy is like 6'7", huge. I mean, he's a huge football player. So I'm like, oh, man, I don't know how the hell we're going to fit you in this truck. But, you know, he was so stoked. No matter what, he was going to fit in that thing, whether he had to scrunch down or so we got him in the truck. And the first thing I did was kind of just warmed up the truck and then took him down at the Mint 400. I believe it's called Thumpers, where we go down at about 130 miles an hour over 4 foot whoops. And,
and he was just blown away. Stretch, right?
His reaction. He was screaming. So it was so cool.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. And you know, he's hooked now. He's, you know, he's gone back and he's trying to figure out what kind of vehicle he can buy to go race. And dude, you know, he's like totally bit by the bug.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think anybody that you put these in these trucks do the same thing. And, towards the end, I was like, hey, you want to hit a jump? And he's like, are you kidding me? Let's go. So out on the lake bed, there's this little jump and went and launched it. And just his eyes, his reaction, that's what it's all about, is just kind of showing people what these vehicles can do. And somebody as an athletic guy like him from a professional sport like football, and kind of seeing the respect that he has for us and our driving talent and stuff like that, it's cool to see and cool to cross over sports as well.
Yeah. So I want to go back.
I definitely wouldn't want to line up against him.
Heck no.
I wouldn't trade him sports any day.
No way, dude. That's gnarly what those guys go through in the NFL. You see a guy like that, and then you know there's a guy opposite him, and they're both like a train wreck. How many plays a game? You know, 50, 60 plays a game, just running right into each other. Like, nah, dude. Exactly. I don't want to be in the middle of that. Like, no way.
Yeah.
We all think we're tough until you see a guy like that. And I'm like, nah, wave the white flag. I'm out.
Yeah, I'll sit in the race seat and drive behind the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to go back to KOH real quick, though. I want to talk about the UTV race, because I know last year you went and you guys had a phenomenal run there. I think it blew everybody away. I mean, even Polaris, I think it blew them away. You know, you guys, what, finished seventh last year? And I honestly, for a KOH debut, dude, that's huge. You come back this year. I know you guys kind of got a double flat, like, right off the start. It just kind of derailed everything. But, dude, I mean, have you been bitten by the rock bug? I mean, obviously, KOH. I mean, is this something where, like, you're into the UTV thing? We're going to see an Ultra 4 in the garage at some point? Like, take us through KOH, dude, because I got a feeling you're kind of enjoying yourself out there in the rocks.
Yeah, last year was my first year out there in the UTV, and just going and having like Casey Curry and Oren and them show me around the desert and kind of go to some of these rock trails and say, hey, we're taking our Polaris Razor up that. And I'm like, there's no way that these cars can go over that. And it was just mind blowing what these vehicles can do. So I was so surprised. We finished seventh overall, first King of the Hammer. So we put a lot more effort into this year. We really built two race cars, one for pre-running, one for the race, and went out, did our homework, and, you know, went out and qualified. I wanted to qualify up front, and I qualified eighth compared to last year. I think I was 37th. So I wanted to see what these front runners would do and how fast they push through the rocks in the desert, because I don't race a UTV every day. So it was really cool to start up there, and right over, I think it was the first rise, someone hit a massive rock and pushed it in the right rut. And I came over the hill, didn't even see it, and blew out my right front and right rear. And I was like, no way, we only carry one spare. So we put one spare on and had to drive 16 miles on a flat on a rim, which kind of started our day off horrible. And I was like, you know what, Oren, let's just keep going. These races, you can't give up. I mean, in the rocks, people could lose, you know, hours and hours. So we kept trekking. We actually had a shock blowout. And then in the pit two, our car caught on fire. So it was an insane day, but we got to the rocks clean. The car was all good at that point, just a shock that was blown out. We started crawling through, and we got to Chocolate Thunder, and the course was completely different than I pre-ran. And everybody was stuck. It was a train wreck. People were freaking out. So I tried to go up and around and actually broke an axle and CV, and I didn't have a spare with me. So we kind of called it. We're going to go back, regroup. But, you know, in that Polaris race, it was so much fun. That race is insane just to see what they'll go over. So we're going to kind of regroup, do a little bit more testing, hopefully this year out there. And then for sure come back next year with Polaris Razor and try to go after that win.
Yeah, dude, I know I've got my car. We got one being built. I know I've seen everybody out there for the last couple of years, and Polaris sent me a unit, and we didn't get it. It literally just didn't quite make the cut. I was entered a race. And so, but seeing what you've gone through and got, like everybody that goes out there, I feel like it's all about homework out there. Like I'm just planning on spending the fall, like start weekending out there and just hitting the rocks and testing and things like that. Cause I feel like that's one of those where it's just homework. It's repetition, homework, repetition. You know, I feel like it's, you got to put in the time out there to be successful, you know?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I think I didn't do, you know, with my desert racing stuff. I put in, I think, more time than anybody. And in the King of the Hammer stuff, it's more of a something kind of fun for me and fun to do for my partners, Polaris Razor. So I didn't take it. I took it serious, but I didn't go out and put the homework in like I should have. And we only pre-ran one day. So I think definitely we're going to go try to get some more knowledge, go learn from the people that have done this their whole lives, kind of like how I did with desert racing. I latched on with Jesse Jones, and he kind of taught me the ropes, teach me how to pre-run. So I need to kind of link up with someone that does the same thing out there, the rocks, and go learn the technique, put in the homework and the time. And I think that shows for any type of sport, business, whatever you do. If you put in the work, if you put in more work than the guy sitting next to you, you're always going to have a better shot at winning that race or challenging whatever's coming up. So, just like you said, it's going to take time, homework, and dedication to, I think, go win one of these races one day.
So before we let you go, want to ask, I mean, obviously we know the plans this year. You guys are pretty committed to desert racing, some of the premier events, things like that. You got the all-wheel drive trucks. I know you still got the Pro 4 sitting there in the garage. I mean, we're going to see you out at Crannon this year. You got any plans to do any short course racing this year, Bryce?
Yeah, that was the plan. We actually built another roller Pro 2 as well. So the plan was to bring them all to Crannon, go racing. I guess I just got word yesterday that I don't know if it's confirmed, but that they are talking about making Pro 4 run DOT tires, which I was pretty surprised. But so we'll have to learn that, kind of figure that whole thing out before we head back to Crandon. But Crandon is one of those special events that we'll be going to for, man, even after I'm done racing. You know, I love that place, the vibe. That's where, you know, I won my first Pro 2 championship was back there. So Crandon's, it's got my heart for short course racing. That's why we don't race short course, but that's the only race we go to just because of how big the event is, and the people out there. So we'll bring the Pro 4. We're going to throw everything at it, kind of like last year. I was disappointed with kind of how we ran last year. We broke, but we were always leading. So do our homework, like I said, and we'll go back and enjoy it, but have fun racing that Pro 4 as well.
Awesome, man. Well, Bryce, I appreciate you taking the time, buddy. Congrats on being 100K richer, and I guess we'll see you out at the mid 400 here. And what are we about 3 weeks out, month out, something like that? Sneaking up on us.
It's crazy how quick it comes. And I just want to say, I always get asked this question a lot from a younger generation on how to get started in off road, how to get better. And I always say is whenever you could drive anything, whether it's a go kart, if you can go to your local go kart track or or a tractor, anything that you can, just get behind the wheel, better your driving skills. My favorite thing nowadays is my Polaris Razor. And the thing is indestructible. It's crazy how you could beat these things so hard. I drive mine almost at least once a week and straight from my house out into the desert. And it's cool to see a manufacturer make something where people can go jump in at a low cost and go have fun in an off-road vehicle. So, you know, always just keep driving, push yourself, and do the best, guys.
Well, and, you know, that leads me to one last thing, because it popped up on the internet. It was one of those where somebody was talking about, you know, Trophy Truck Division and how people just buy their way in, things like that. And somebody that didn't know any better mentioned you. And me and Pat Daly immediately chimed in. We're like, whoa, pump the brakes here. Like, I remember Bryce and buggies and, you know, like, dude, like you talked about Jesse Jones. I think, I mean, tell us about that, because you weren't, I mean, obviously, you know, if you wanted to, your dad wanted to, he could have started you out in whatever division he wanted to, but you started at the bottom. You worked your way up, man. I mean, how was that working through the limited classes and things like that? You know, because I feel like that you learn so much in those classes where if you skip all those steps and just end up in the premier divisions, I think it really hurts you in the long run, right?
Yeah, I think it was huge kind of getting into the sport and not even knowing what it was, and my dad being smart and wanting to put me in, you know, a 1600 car pretty much. And I think that's honestly the best thing I could have ever done, because it taught you car control. It taught you how to carry momentum. It taught you speed. It taught you the basics of driving and not just throwing a ton of power, a ton of suspension, so you can just hold it wide open and go through stuff. So that's how I always tell kids nowadays, that even though we had the resources to jump into the best truck and go full out right away, I think the best thing you do is start out slow, start out small, really learn what you're doing, develop your skills, because then if you have those skills, you can go to any type of racing, any form of racing, and put those skills to the test and do well in that. So I always say, if you could start out in the smallest class, really learn the car's ability and learn how to drive those limited cars fast. And once you get to those fast trucks, it's a lot easier to drive those things at the high rate of speed.
Yeah. Still have the itch to do any rally racing ever again?
Yeah, it's, you know, I get asked that a lot, because I went over there and did a bunch of stuff, and it was a blast. It just takes so much of your time and commitment. And I think if I was committing to something that big and that much, I really have to enjoy it. And I just didn't enjoy it that much. It's fun to go race those cars, but when you're driving on, you know, the highway for 6 hours to get to the start of the race in the race car and then drive in 3 hours afterwards, it wasn't that much fun. You know, I would way rather race a trophy truck here where my friends, my family, everybody can go watch and see. And, you know, it's something that's challenging. My hat's off to Ricky Brabec and Casey Curry for being the first Americans to win in their class. And that's so cool. And I would have loved to do that. But to put the effort and the time, it just doesn't pay off the same anymore. I have a daughter on the way in a month, so I'm really learning family and love just being around my friends, my family. If I'm put time into it, I really got to love it.
Yeah. Well, how about I know our buddy Travis has got some stuff cranking with Nitro and Rallycross. We ever see you back behind the wheel of a Rallycross car again?
Man, I hope so. Those things were wicked fun. Anything to do with Pastrana or Travis it's crazy, crazy adrenaline. You're always going to be having a good time, challenge. So if I get back in those things, it'd be really cool what Travis is doing with Nitro Circus and the Nitro Games and the Rallycross that he's throwing on there. So I'm always down for that type of stuff. But we're going to be focused on desert this year, try to win a championship and score. We're really going to push for that. And, you know, just go out there, have fun, and motivate the younger guys to really enjoy their time of what they're doing and keep pushing and pursue their goals.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate the time, Bryce. You know, congrats again, once again, on the 100K at KOH, and we'll see you at the MIT 400.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
So that was the guy I like to call B-Money when I'm on the mic announcing events. But Bryce Menzies, you know, one of the top of the sport, anything off-road, always fun catching up with him, and always a good time. He'll be in action out there at the Mint 400 in a few weeks. So thank you guys once again for tuning into the show. Head over to Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button, make sure and go over to Spotify and check us out there as well. Go to betonline.ag, use that promo code podcast1, and it'll get you a 50% sign up bonus. Check out our friends there at geico.com. take care of all your insurance needs, get you bundled up, and save you some money. And, it's been a solid week. We got more coming at you next week here on Project Action, as well as my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Check us out, SiriusXM 211, Dan Patrick Radio, 10 a.m. Pacific on Sundays. All right, so all that being said, I think it's time for me to bow out for the week. And we will see you next time right here on Project Action on Podcast One.